Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. Evan, we got a great show tonight. We're going to talk a little NCAA basketball. Now we're getting to March Madness time. And then, you know, we also have tonight is kind of a new era for us. We're doing some shuffling with our show and what we've been doing and welcoming in a new listening audience. We're actually going to welcome in the listening audience from the Grueling Truth. We're going to actually start doing some work for Coach Goodpaster. I know he's been a long friend of the show. And we've decided to, you know, do some work for the Grueling Truth and get our show posted up on that website. So welcome in all the listeners from the Grueling Truth. Hope you enjoy the Red Light Sports Ramble. Evan and I have fun doing this. So, Evan, how are things out in the great state of Wisconsin tonight?
Well, kind of down tonight. The Badgers fall at home against Northwestern last night. Pretty tough loss, pretty sloppy loss, and we're going to talk about that. We talked about last week that when they played Nebraska, and you know the sloppiness just caught up to them. And we're going to talk about that. Going to talk some Big Ten basketball as the top 16 seed of the NCAA tournament will release the early prelims. And no Big Ten teams listed whatsoever. Is that a indication on how people view the Big Ten this year? Is the Big Ten out? Is the Big Ten down this year? Is it down here? So we're going to touch base on that. And then if there's time, Jordan Spieth won the Pro-Am event over the weekend, breezed to an easy victory. And the question is golf season gets underway, is Jordan Spieth enough? Is Jordan Spieth enough to bring in an audience for golf, like Tiger Woods used to do? We're gonna talk about that as well. But you know, as I said, Troy, things in Wisconsin kind of sad today as the Badgers fell against Northwestern yesterday. You know, it was a game that Wisconsin came out early, looking like they were going to take care of business, and then Northwestern goes on a big run. They went on a 16-0 run after Wisconsin took a 19-12 lead, and it's pretty much downhill from that. And 7 of the 16 points on that 16-0 run came off turnover, something Wisconsin generally doesn't do. Wisconsin typically, Troy, does not turn the ball over, and because of turnover, next thing you know, they're down 28-19, and they went on a run in the second half, the Badgers did, and then they just basically kept falling out of gas. And Ethan Happ, horrible game, facing a double team most of the game, and Badgers just sloppy with it. So, you know, Troy, we talked last week. I've been talking quite some time to my friend that the Badgers need a loss. They're playing sloppy basketball. They're not protecting the basketball. They're not shooting well. They're not moving the ball around. They're settling for jump shots. And during that 16-0 run, Wisconsin stopped trying to put the ball in the post and settled for three-pointers. Wisconsin was down 47-40 at one point, and Vito Brown and Bronson Koenig missed three-pointers with about 20 seconds on the shot clock. Basically, they're not playing Wisconsin basketball. My take is that hopefully they learn from this loss, they learn from their mistakes, and they're able to get back into playing Wisconsin basketball, which is going from the inside out, and get into a rhythm. And the Badgers actually played better, and I'm not taking anything away from Ethan Happ. He's one of the best big men in the country. But they actually played better without Ethan Happ on the court. But what is your takeaways from that Wisconsin loss?
No, they pooed the bed. You know my famous words, they pooed the bed, Evan. And this is one of the things, you know, Kevin and I do a Big Ten show, so we recorded our show this afternoon, and we talked about this. And Northwestern, outside of Wisconsin, I mean, their staple is good defense, and they're the second leading defensive team in the Big Ten. And when you look at Wisconsin, though, and you look at those big three, that's what I'll call Wisconsin's team, with Ethan Happ, a Wooden Award top 20 guy, And then you have Nigel Hayes, who has the talent, who has a great game. And then you got Bronson Koenig. These are guys that should be able to lift that Badger team. And really, what you need from Wisconsin, and you've hit it right on the head, and I've said this for the past probably 3-4 weeks, Evan, that Wisconsin is robotic. And they're just kind of going through the motions, and they were beating teams that they should have beat. To touch on another point that you brought up, the Big Ten, honestly, mediocre right now. And so they're taking care, and they have enough talent on the floor to win against those mediocre teams. But when you look back at this Wisconsin team, Evan, Rutgers brought them to overtime. That's a team that should not be bringing Wisconsin to overtime. They're 2-11 in the Big Ten, and they're not a good team. And sometimes I think Wisconsin is just in a funk and kind of robotic. And you mentioned last week that a loss wouldn't be bad, and I agree with you. I think this loss can now propel Wisconsin to really kind of look in the mirror and say, you know what, if we want to make a run in the NCAA tournament, we've got to improve dramatically. And I say dramatically, not in the sense of they're terrible. They've got pieces. They've got a roster built where they can make a good run, Evan. They have Ethan Happ inside, so they have the big man. They have guys that can shoot from the outside, and they play good defense. It is the makeup of a good roster, but they've got to get that chemistry. They've got to get what I'll call, air quoting, mojo together, and they've got, you know, basically 2 warm-up weeks to do it. Where they're at now, they're going to finish in that top part of the conference. We want them to win the Big Ten regular season title, of course, but you're looking at that first-round bye, which is good. You want to have that, so you don't have to play on day one. But they have a couple weeks to kind of get ready to work some of these kinks out and put together a little bit of a mini run here at the end of the season, go into the Big Ten tournament, make a run in that tournament, and then get their selection in the tournament, which is probably going to be a 5 seed. The way that the committee is rolling out the Big Ten this year and kind of pushing them under the rug, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, Evan, this Wisconsin team, when I look at it, has enough talent to be a dominant team. Just there's that something missing that makes this team special. But they're a good team. I mean, they got up to 7th in the country due to a lot of other teams losing. They got a good record. The Big Ten down a little bit this year, yeah, but they're taking care of business. And a loss to Northwestern isn't like they did lose to Rutgers. Had they lost that Rutgers game, you and I might have been on a different tear. But a loss to Northwestern isn't like embarrassing. Northwestern has a very good defensive club, and Wisconsin should have been able to pull that out, but they didn't, and you lose games. And so now they need to regroup. But, you know, hopefully this is the wake-up call that they wanted. So I'm going to move into the next part, Evan, which is, you know, the selection committee came out with their top 16, no Big Ten teams. No Big Ten teams at all. I think part of it is because you see the mediocre play in the Big Ten this year. They did have, though, they went out and their bracketologist put together the full 64 after. And Kevin and I talked about this, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Evan. They had 8 Big Ten teams in the tournament. I don't agree. I don't think this Big Ten conference has 8 quality tournament teams. I think there's 5 solid teams, and they could get a 6th one in with these bubble teams that are lingering around the 500 mark. I think there's 6 quality teams. I don't agree with 8. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, well, looking at the Big Ten, Wisconsin, Maryland, Purdue, Michigan State, I think are pretty much locks. Michigan State reputation, Purdue's having a good year, Maryland's having a strong year, Wisconsin's having a strong year, and I think Wisconsin is and can be a dominant team. They're just in a bit of a funk right now, but hopefully the loss is a wake-up call for them. Northwestern, with that win against Wisconsin, should have the potential to make the NCAA tournament. They're now 8-4 in conference, 19-6 overall, which would be the first time ever in school history that they're in the tournament. So I think those are teams that are likely in. Wisconsin, Maryland, Purdue, Northwestern, and Michigan State. That's five. Minnesota has a very good shot at getting in. They got to get some get a couple wins in the Big Ten tournament overall, but they have a shot to make the tournament. And then you're probably looking at Michigan or Iowa. So I see, you know, probably six teams at the most. When they say eight teams, I don't know who the other three teams are. You have Minnesota, Michigan, and Iowa, pretty much. Ohio State's not having a strong year. Indiana's not having a strong year. Penn State, they're Penn State. So you have Minnesota, Michigan, and Iowa, probably other bubble teams that could potentially get in. But Iowa, you know, they're 1-7 on the road. Michigan's 1-6 on the road. Those are resumes that the NCAA might look strange at. And the Big Ten, as always, very competitive conference. It seems to always be a competitive conference, but it's obviously a down year for the Big Ten. I think last year and the year prior, the Big Ten is one of the top-ranked conferences in all of basketball. But you look at their top 16 seeds, you know, you have the ones as Villanova, Kansas, Baylor, and Gonzaga. The two, Oregon, North Carolina, Florida State, and Louisville. Threes, you got Kentucky, Arizona, Florida, Virginia. And then fours, you got UCLA, Duke, Butler, and West Virginia. That's what the bracket preview came out as of this weekend. And the thing with college basketball this year, that's going to change because you're going to have upsets that happen along the way. There's, to me, as I mentioned already, there's last week, there's no dominant teams in college basketball this year. There is none. You know, and we talked about how it's pretty much from the parity from, you know, the one and done rule, you don't have teams really being formed anymore. But, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, a few weeks from now when the brackets come out overall. But I wouldn't be surprised if you got a Wisconsin or Maryland or even a Purdue in the top four, you know, top 16, so a 1-4 seed. I don't know if they can get a 1, but I think they'll definitely get a 2, 3, or 4. One of those three teams can if they close out strong. So, what are your thoughts on top 16 that they came out with over the weekend? No Big Ten teams listed.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. You know, I talked about it. Even though Wisconsin has put up a lot of wins, you look at the way they were playing, they moved up into that top 10 by default at times with other teams ahead of them losing. I think they are a team when you look at the way they're playing now. Again, I think they got a very good team. Could they be better? Yes. But they've not been playing well. And I think right now that ranking, 13 to 17 is probably right for Wisconsin. Could they have snuck into that top 16? I think so. And they very well could. I mean, you're looking at a ranking, Evan, with a couple weeks left in the regular season that you could see a Purdue or a Wisconsin or a Maryland, depending on which one of those teams goes on a good run here at the end of the season and into the Big Ten tournament, one of those teams could elevate into that top 16, but you're not going to see a number one seed. You're not going to see a number two or three. I mean, you're probably going to see a four line somewhere if there is one. Maybe the winner of the Big Ten, depending on what they do to end the regular season, if they go through the tournament, if one of those top three teams, puts together a five-team winning streak here at the end of the season and then goes through the Big Ten tournament with three more wins and can rattle off eight wins in a row, maybe you see a three, but I think you're going to see highest probably a four. They have Wisconsin and Purdue at five right now. So I wasn't surprised. But, you look at it overall, I think this is a difficult year for the NCAA tournament because of what you said. You've got a group maybe in the palm of your hand that are very, very good. The Villanovas, the Gonzagas, we talked about Gonzaga last week. And then you have, Kansas you can throw in there. You've got teams. You've got that handful of teams that are very, very good. And then you have, to be honest, outside of that, maybe, another 55 teams that could knock anybody off at any time. That's the way I feel. And it's going to be interesting when the brackets come out and all the bracketology and all the March Madness tournaments that are going on. You could see, I could see this year, Evan, I'm not going to go as far as saying a 15 is going to beat a 2. I could see a 14 beating a 3 this year. I could see some 13 seeds winning, some 12, some 11s, just because of the way that the NC tournament is going to roll out. I think it makes kind of exciting in a sense, but on the other hand, it's like, is college basketball down as a whole? So the product itself, you know, you're looking at it and saying, well, is this one and done rule? Is it really worth it? So I think maybe the product is down, but I think it'll make for an exciting tournament. If you want to consider something wide open, I would say this year's NCAA tournament, pretty darn wide open, Evan.
Yeah, it's definitely wide open. And one NCAA tournament that will not be wide open, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. I didn't put it in the preview because I don't want to jinx and piss off UConn fans, but the UConn Husky women's basketball team won their 100th game in a row tonight. 100th game in a row. I don't care if it's just women's basketball and the quality of play is blah, 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 whatever. That's impressive. To win 100 games in a row, you know, it takes a lot because teams are giving you their best efforts night in and night out. And yes, I know the majority of the games you kind of won by double digits, but this is just them playing, as I said, dominating basketball. And I don't know when they're going to lose, but I definitely don't see them losing before the end of the women's NCAA tournament. So if they're going to lose, probably won't be until next year. So before we move over into golf, any comments on the Lady Huskies winning 100 games in a row?
Well, you hear all the naysayers like, oh, yeah, it's only women's basketball, it's UConn. You and I had this conversation, I think maybe a year ago, Evan, about UConn and the domination they have in women's basketball. And you got to tip your hat. You know, they're not breaking rules. If you're the best player in the country, you want to go to UConn. That's where you want to go. I mean, these other teams have as much chance to recruit players as the other teams do. And it's just you put together a dynasty and you want to develop and you want to go on and play professionally. UConn's a program, if you're given a scholarship, that you're going to go. So they land all the five-star recruits. And until there's other teams out there that can prove they can take away those recruits, UConn's going to get them. But like you said, winning 100 games, and, you know, maybe a lot of it is, you know, there is some cupcake games in there, but they've also won through the NCAA tournament. And like you said, that is, for a lot of teams, they are the David trying to take down Goliath. And so they get up for those games. You're going to get 100%. You can never take a night off. Now, talent-wise, you can have an off night and still win if you're UConn, which, you know, happens every now and then, where they, you know, maybe only win by 8 or 10 and not by 25 or 30. And there are some very bad women's college basketball programs. I'm not going to deny that. But at the end of the day, when you look at what UConn has done, the way they built the program, you have to give them credit. And 100 wins, that's like 3-plus seasons, Evan. It's amazing. It's just amazing to me that along the way they didn't stumble. It just goes to show, you know, how much talent they do have. And, you know, if you want to argue that point because you hate to cheer for success, everyone else is in the same ballpark when they have the same chance to go recruit, you know, Betty Blue over there, that's the top player in the country. Every other team has a chance to go talk to her. She's going to go to UConn because she wants to develop. And until another program can prove that they can develop and stand on that same level as UConn, those five-star recruits are going to UConn. And they built the program that way. So, you know, there's going to be haters out there with the success, and that's just the way sports go. But my hat's off to the UConn program for 100 wins in a row. It's tremendous. Now, you know, it's probably a debate for another show, but you get to the NCAA tournament. Are you going to cheer for them to continue the win streak, or are you going to cheer? Maybe we can put a Twitter poll up. Are you going to cheer for UConn, or are you going to cheer against UConn to see them lose? Because some people will do that too. But I know you want to talk a little bit of golf tonight. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. Let's get at it. Let's talk a little bit of golf, something we don't spend a lot of time talking about on the show, but tonight we're going to.
Yeah, with the Pebble Beach Pro-Am taking place over the weekend, you know, golf's starting to get into full swing, the calendar year of the PGA Tour, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Jordan Spieth dominated it. You know, he has completely dominated the tournament, putting for birdie on every single hole but one. And he had a 30-foot birdie putt on the 17th hole with the Pacific Ocean backdrop, and he was already over as well. So, you know, Tiger Woods, when he dominated tournaments like this, you know, it was all over everything. Sports Centers, Sports Illustrated, all over the internet, everybody talking about it. Well, Jordan Spieth, I know it's a pro-am, and that's probably part of the reason why, but Jordan Spieth, there's barely a word spoken. So I guess the question, can golf survive if, I don't mean survive like they're going to fold up, I mean just the popularity, can golf survive with Jordan Spieth being the face of the PGA Tour? When Tiger Woods was the face of the PGA Tour, people who had never watched golf before in their life, nor even played golf a day in their life, were watching golf, playing golf. They wanted to play golf. Golf was cool. And now it seems to me golf's starting to go back into what it was before Tiger Woods showed up and started dominating everybody. You know, Tiger Woods, former shell of himself, he missed the cut at the, his first tournament he played in, dropped out after the first round of the second due to his back firing up on him again. And it's looking like the, you know, Tiger Woods is probably done. And I know I mentioned, you know, with all the old people doing well this past year, watched Tiger Woods end up winning a major or something. Part of that was just comedy. But, you know, I thought, you know, maybe he could squeeze in and take one. But, you know, just by looking at it, it looks like Tiger Woods is pretty much done. I don't even mean done in regards to, you know, winning majors. I mean, he's done. I don't see him. I don't envision him being in contention anytime soon. I think he's going to end up calling it a career very, very shortly, if not before the end of the PGA Tour. But I don't know how much you follow golf. I know I got into golf mostly because of Tiger Woods. I didn't really follow it too much. I still follow it now. So I haven't given it up. But I got into golf because of Tiger Woods, and he brought that population of the golf that had never gotten into it before. You know, is Jordan Spieth the guy that can attract those fans? I honestly don't think he is. But what do you think?
Nope. There needs to be some kind of rivalry going on here. Spieth is not going to be the guy that carries golf into the world of advancing the brand. You need to have some kind of natural rivalry show up. Maybe it's 2, 3, 4 guys that are contending. You look back at the Trevinos, the Palmers, the Nicholsons, and you look at those trio of guys, and then you had the Tiger Woods era where he just dominated. And there was some rivalry in there maybe with Mickelson, but I think what golf needs now, Evan, is they need probably 3 or 4 really good guys that are dominating the field all the time, like the Trevino, Palmer, Nicholson era, to build the brand awareness. But Spieth isn't going to do it alone. There has to be a storyline somewhere. And after what Tiger Woods has done to the game of golf and his domination, came out like a ball of fire, there's no real storylines now. Spieth can do things that he, you know, seem unbelievable. But right now, not until he gets up into double-digit major wins or something like that, and that's years away, the brand's not going to build. I do follow golf, for those that are loyal listeners, and I know we got a new listening audience tonight. I do participate in DraftKings, Evan. So I, every week, enter a golf DraftKings. And so I do follow golf. I read the previews. I read about the players. I even watch the Golf Channel every once in a while. So the thing with golf is that you're going to have your fan base that you typically have, but you're not going to draw new casual fans in. There's no storyline right now. You know, what a good golf is not a good enough storyline to bring the casual fan in. There has to be some controversy or some rivalry or something exciting going on to pull people to turn the TV on and watch golf. I enjoy watching some golf. I'm not one of these guys, Evan, though, that's going to turn on the Pro-Am or turn on the St. Jude Classic or the John Deere Open and watch the final round, unless there is a storyline. I will watch the majors, though. I definitely will take time to, you know, turn it on, watch a little bit, watch the leaderboard, watch the golf. But I'm not that guy that watches every weekend, but I do follow it. But for a casual fan outside of the world of golf, there needs to be that group of guys that are intriguing, that are, and they don't even have to be like enemies. They can be best of buddies, but it has to be that competition where they're fighting for it. But Jordan Spieth is not doing it alone, Evan.
No, and I guess you talked about needing a rival, and I guess, Tiger Woods did have Phil Mickelson, but Phil Mickelson didn't really ever compete with Tiger Woods final weekend of most tournaments. I know it's, he could talk about how, he was his rival, but, I wouldn't really call it a rival because we didn't get to see Woods and Mickelson go stroke for stroke, shot for shot on the final weekend at Augusta. I think if we would have saw like something like that, it would have made it more of a rival. And, maybe if, Rory McIlroy comes back around and playing golf at a high level, Jordan Spieth and McIlroy, that rivalry right there could spark some interest of the casual golf fan. But with that, I don't have anything else to say, and throw it over to you to let you give your final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's that part of the year, Evan. I like this time of the year. I know people say, well, there's nothing going on sports-wise, but it allows you and I to expand and talk about things that we don't talk about normally during the NFL season. Tonight, college basketball and golf, love doing it. We'll talk a little bit more about that right now, and baseball's right around the corner. Can't wait. Cannot wait, Evan. Major League Baseball right around the corner, and a lot to talk about there. And again, I want to thank all of our new listening audience from The Grueling Truth. Thanks for checking out our show. Evan and I do a live show every night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at TroyRobert967. Evan is at EvanWittSports. And our show Twitter is at RedLightSports. So go follow us on Twitter. Drop us a line. Evan and I have been doing this, almost 3 years this summer, right, buddy?
Yeah, getting there, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. 3 years this summer that we've been doing the show, and we've always said that we want to do the show for the fan. Evan and I can put together great content and talk. I mean, we do a show for 30 minutes. Evan, you and I both know we could sit on this show for 3 hours and probably just keep rolling along. We want to talk about things that you want to hear about. So as we invite our new listeners in, Evan, find us on Twitter again, at TroyRobert967, at EvanWittSports, or at RedLightSports. Let us know what you want to talk about. Evan puts out a lot of great polls. I put out some polls on my Twitter handle, and go interact with us. But let us know what you want us to talk about. Wednesday nights, we normally do what we call Twitter Talk, where we scour the timeline of Twitter, and we take the hottest topics in sports and talk about those. So get involved with us. We look forward to interacting with all of our new listening audience. With that said, for Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. We'll get back at you tomorrow night. Have a good night, everyone.